you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host here in Los Angeles, and this is Haunted Playground. Live Paranormal, of course, is at liveparanormal.com, syndicated all over the world, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio. The list goes on and on and on, and it is so awesome to be here with you every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. It's our new time slot right here on liveparanormal.com. I switch the time slot because on Tuesdays, I do my Raising the Vibration show at 5 o'clock p.m., and it just seemed to get too complicated that that was 5 and this was 6, and people's minds were blowing. So everything's at 5 o'clock Pacific time now, and now you're all hooked up and ready to go. SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, that's where you find me. HauntedPlayground.com, that's where you find this show. Each week on the show, I gather folks that I believe to be the brightest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in both the spiritual and the paranormal communities. And we talk about everything, whether it's is there life after death or do you have a Loch Ness monster in your swimming pool. It all belongs right here on the Haunted Playground. And that's just what we do. We play. It's haunted and we play and we talk about things that are fun. My guests today are making their debut here on Haunted Playground, but certainly are no stranger to Live Paranormal. They have a wonderful regular show on the Live Paranormal Video Network, where I do 3 shows as well. They're my warm-up on Wednesday nights, but soon I'm going to be their warm-up because I'm going to flip my show before theirs. Their show is called ITC and Paranormal Podcast, and they're awesome, and I adore them, and it's great to have them here. Please welcome to the show the amazing and wonderful Rob Hernandez and Joshua Sean. Welcome, both of you. It's great to have you here. How are you?
Doing great.
Sheena, doing great. Thank you for the wonderful introduction.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Well, thank you for being wonderful and getting people all revved up for my show. Now, I'm hoping I can do the same for you on Wednesday night as I move my shows a little bit earlier. You guys are Wednesdays at 8, and that's facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. And that's where you look for me. I do my Haunted Playground After Dark show after this. And I do I Am Raising Your Vibration after my Raising the Vibration show. And I do a Friday night show. And I think the two of us, you guys and me, probably were the ones that are there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And I used to have a show on Tuesday nights here on Blog Talk Radio and Live Paranormal on Tuesday nights. And then I took a hiatus for about a year, and then I started the live shows.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And you're kind of the go-to video guy. This is Rob, right?
Yes.
You're kind of the go-to video guy at Live Paranormal, right? You're like the one who's coming up with all the nifty video. you're our tech god.
Rob kind of. Rob put me on the spot and asked me to do all of the video stuff for Live Paranormal. And, so at some point we will be coming back onto liveparanormal.com and Blog Talk Radio. Still haven't really come up with the show yet. So still under works.
Right. You know what? Yeah. And I'm planning in the new year to start a new one here, too, a third one. It's a very psychic base because I don't really do that. I do sort of the vibrational uplift show, and then I do this one, which, you know, spiritual and paranormal, but I want to do a really kind of psychic face one, sort of a radio version of what I do video-wise at Live Paranormal. So that's coming up hopefully in January. You know, it's like there's so much to do, right? There's like 27 shows I'd like to do. I'm doing a new television project I'm announcing next week on a television network and a digital television network. And yesterday I had a meeting with the production guy, my PD, to set up what the background music was going to sound like. And every thing he played me, I was like, oh, I could do a ufology show with that. Oh, that'd be great for a show about demons. Oh, that'd be great for a show about haunted toys. Like, it, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's, like, so many things I want to do, and you want to do everything, right? You just run out of time in your life.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
There's not enough time in the day.
Exactly. It's always you're limited by time.
Absolutely. So, Joshua, how did you wind up in the paranormal world?
You know, it started organically. I grew up as a musician, and as a musician, as a young child, you're recording yourself. And so basically, I grew up in a very religious home, and I became more spiritual as I grew older. And naturally, as a musician and later becoming an audio engineer, the two worlds just collided, the metaphysical, meta-science, where audio met spirituality. And here I am doing a show with two shows now with Rob on Live Paranormal.
That's beautiful. What is your other show called?
Well, right now it's unofficially called The Saturday Show. Rob and I don't exactly have a name for it.
Oh.
Rob started it about a year ago. It's affectionately been called The Saturday Show. So until something better comes along, that's what it is.
that's what Josh calls it. It's actually live Ghost Box, 3 a.m. live Ghost Box sessions.
I apologize,
and it
Rob.
It really is, right? It's all Ghost Box.
Yes.
And you do
different
it at
types
3
of Ghost Boxes. Live at 3 a.m., yes. Well, it starts quarter till because we'll just kind of talk, do a little bit of talk, but usually right at the top of the hour, we'll start our first Ghost Box session. And all of the Ghost Boxes that I've used on the show have been developed by myself. And things that Josh has pushed me to work on. So that's where it came from.
And Rob, for you, how did the paranormal start?
Oh my gosh, mine started at a very young age, where I saw an apparition, the Hat Man, actually, if you have to put it, you know, that was my first apparition that I've seen. And,
Wow.
Yeah, and that was when I was 4. And when I saw him, I got like a certain feeling in my stomach. As an adult now, it just felt like when you have a really bad anxiety or getting ready to have an anxiety attack, that's exactly what you feel like. So anytime I would get that feeling going into a location, whether it been a hotel, whether it been somebody's house, whether it been, you know, a restaurant, whatever, I would get that feeling. And it was kind of scare me because that's what I associated it with. And any time I got that feeling, I always had a paranormal experience. I would run down the hall, whatever. If I was in a restroom at a restaurant, or if I was in a restroom or in a certain near a certain room, and I would just feel that, I would run. So my parents, I started going to therapy. My parents, you know, started sending me to therapy, whatever. And after a while, you know, I started questioning, why were you guys sending me to, you know, when I was a kid, you know, as I got older, I started asking questions and they were like, well, we thought you were afraid of the game. And I was like, okay, so, you know, whatever. And it kind of seemed that way. Right. So, then when I was 12, I was at another location that it's very known for, there's a few spirits there and I didn't know about it. So we were there because they use it at the wedding venue. They use it for a lot of different things. So I was at an old Adobe in Ventura. So I went upstairs peeking through the windows because Adobe was locked up. So I peeked in one of the windows, and I saw a woman in a black dress walking, and then she turned and started walking towards me. I got that same feeling in my stomach, and I ran. So as I got downstairs, I was looking up, okay, when's she coming out? And there's only one stairway down to come out of that building. Nobody ever came out the whole night we were there. So later I found out, yeah, that place was haunted. So, but that became like a very, it's a location that's very close to my heart because I've had so many experiences there. It kind of went full circle where I did some, a lot of investigations there, got a lot of evidence there, and I also got photos of her. So, yeah, it's like I said, come full circle.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I grew up in a really awful kind of evil haunted house. And I think for a long time, I didn't realize that I was gifted spiritually because I just thought I could see spirits and talk to spirits in haunted locations because they sort of got it because I grew up in that house. Do you know what I mean? Like I was sort of marked. And so that,
right.
it's kind of like if you have a lot of gay friends, you get who you can spot the gay people. You're not necessarily gay yourself, but you just know because you have
right.
friends. And that's what I thought
right.
because of that experience in that house, spirits just kind of globbed onto me places. Like I was marked. It wasn't
right.
for a while that I realized that I actually had gifts and I could talk to spirits even if I wasn't in a haunted place. But having an experience like that, it changes you. And so my two questions to you is, are the Hatman visits repeated for you, as they often are? And when you're doing all these ghost box sessions, do you ever get a Hatman?
I have never seen the Hatman again. And no, I've never had the Hatman come through. At least I don't think I have. But with that, with everything that has been said, I mean, I do astro project, I do remote viewings, I do, so it really, and I was never open with my gifts, never. I never said I was psychic, never said I knew I had abilities, but I never put a label on myself. I never really said it, a lot of it until the Saturday show. A lot of people started saying, Rob, you have abilities, Rob, this, you know, just telling me a lot of things. And then not very long ago, there was a shift. Something happened on the Saturday night show where everybody saw it. Everybody that was there felt it. Something changed. And when that shift happened, we started hearing disembodied voices. So all of the channeling mm-hmm. that I was doing, because people are like, Rob, do you know that you're channeling? I was like, no, I'm not. And they're like, Rob, you're channeling. And all of a sudden, when that shift happened, we started hearing voices. And I'm like, where are those voices coming from? And everybody else was hearing it. We didn't have a ghost box session running. I was just talking at that time. And a lot of people heard the voices. And, yeah, it was really strange.
That's interesting. It's interesting that you've never been visited again by Hatman. But that's definitely something where I think you're marked. I've never had a Hatman visitation, thank God, because I seriously think I would shit my pants. Even with that house I grew up in, never Hatman. But my mom, as a child, was a repeated Hatman visitee. And I knew about the first story, but I never even knew about the second story until a couple of years before her death. She was actually doing the show with me. And she just started telling the story like she had told me. So I'll tell you the five-minute story, and then you have to tell me your Hatman story. So my mom grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, very, very poor during the Depression. And my grandmother was working in a factory to feed five kids and her parents, who were retired. So basically, my mom was just sort of left to wander around the slums of Louisville by herself and do her thing. She was in a park, and this man walked up to her, and he opened up his coat, and there were like all these little folds inside the coat, and then he disappeared. So when my grandmother died and my mom was in the system, she told a social worker in the system that had happened to her, and the woman in the social work system told her, you know, well, it's a what you really saw was a man flashed himself and the little souls were his genitals. First of all, should we have been discussing this with a seven-year-old? But you know what? It was the Depression. So my mom always just thought she'd seen some creeper. So when she was 11, she got off school one day, and the social worker met her at school and said, here's a dress, here's your suitcase, get on this train, you're going to New York to meet your parents. And she went to upstate New York to meet the people who I knew as my grandparents. And they lived on a big estate outside of Poughkeepsie, and there was a big old giant old tree that literally the branch of the tree was right outside of my mom's bedroom. So the first night, she's going to sleep and she hears this laughing. And she goes to the window to see what it is, and it's that same guy, the hat man with his hat on, and he's sitting in the branch of the tree, like, swinging his legs and just laughing his ass off. And every night for years until she went away to boarding school, he was in that tree every single night. So she had never told me the New York story, and she didn't know what a hat man was or anything. And I think when I was little and she first told me the park story, I didn't know what a hat man was. And I was like, oh, my God, Mom, hat man. And a bowler hat. This one had a bowler hat. That's the thing about Hatman, right? It doesn't matter what kind of hat. Hatman likes whatever interdimensional creature Hatman is. They like all kinds of hats, which I think is kind of like Queer Eye for the Hatman, right? Weird thing.
Right.
What do they do in the Hatman hat store and just pick out hats? Like, it's so such a strange thing to me. But, my biggest fear has always been that Hat Man would decide that it was generational, as it is with a lot of, like, UFO abductees and Mothman sighting people. But thankfully, I have never had to deal with Mothman, too, but never with Hat Man, because Hat Man creeps me out. So what do you remember about your encounter?
So I was, like I said, I was at a really young age. I was at, like, four, almost five. And I was at my mom's girlfriend's house because she was like, hey, we're going to go visit, you know, my friend, blah, blah, blah. So, and I, you know, I remember her coming over every now and then. But anyway, we went to her house, and I'd use the restroom. So as a boy, you know, we never shut the door. So I used the restroom, and I went to go wash my hands. And in the mirror, I saw this across the way in the reflection of the mirror. In the bedroom, I saw this man standing there, and he had like a top hat, and I remember that distinctly, and he had the long coat on with, like, tails. It was a long coat, I remember the coattails. But it could have been, like, a trench coat where it has a split down in the middle. I just remember, you know, it was kind of split. So I just remember that, I still can see him in my mind's eye, like I can see him right now. But you know what, Sheena? So here's the funny thing. So where I had the encounter was at the Olivas Adobe. That's where I saw Mrs. Olivas, Theodora Olivas. So I just thought of something. When we were at the Olivas Adobe, I was doing an investigation with Richard Sennett, and we had a few other people there. And I remember seeing a shadow outside. So I went outside, and I was, like, looking around the corner. And the door to the children's bedroom was open. So I kept an eye out. Like, kept on looking out, because I was like, okay, I saw a man standing out there. I saw a shadow walk by, and I looked out. And because you have to walk down the stairs, there's, like, a balcony. So I looked over, and there's nobody there. And I would have saw that person walking down or even heard him walking down the stairs, because it's all wood. So shortly after we're in there and I went back, I kept on peeking into the back room, into the children's room, to see if there's anybody in there. And then some of the investigators also walked in there with me, and we saw a man standing there. And I remember now, oh, my God, it was Hatman again. And so he literally ran out, locked out one of the windows, ran out and slammed the door. And so when I opened up the door, Debbie Sennett was walking up the stairs, and she said, what the hell is going on up there? And I said, did you see anybody run out? And she said, no, but I just heard the door slam. And then I said, is it windy outside? And she said, no, there's not even a breeze. And she said, who in the hell just slammed the door? And I said, you saw the door slam. And she said, yes, and I heard it. And she's like, what the hell are you guys doing up there? Where's Richard? And I said, he's doing, you know, an investigation. And I said, and I explained to her what happened. And she said, no, we didn't see, I didn't see anybody. So these girls were like screaming, like they were like hysterical. And I told them to calm down. And I asked them, what did you guys see? And they said that we saw a man and he ran by, he blocked out the window and he ran out and slammed the door. And I said, okay, so we all experienced the same thing. And they were all, yeah. And I said, you guys all saw him? And they said, yes. I said, okay, cool. But, yeah, now thinking back, I'm like, wait a minute, that was Hatman.
Yeah, I think it's very rare. And my mom had a theory, and maybe you'll agree with this, talking about your gifts, Rob. My mom had a theory, because she was a very gifted psychic medium, that Hatman kind of, you got on Hatman's radar because you were somebody with gifts. They sort of knew that you were going to wind up being somebody who was going to bring gifts to the earth. And somehow that fascinated them. Kind of an interesting theory, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's... See, and I always thought it was something opposite. I always heard, like, oh, when you see Hatman, somebody's going to die. That's what I always, heard. That was like
Okay, I've never
that
heard
like
that. That's
the
interesting.
Urban, but that was always the urban legend.
Right. Well, my grandma was going to die. But when she saw him again up in Wappingers Falls in New York, nobody was dying then. So,
Right. No, and nobody died when I was a kid, you know. And, yeah, so.
Yeah, that's fascinating, right? It's such an interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she always felt like maybe they, you know how they always say that sometimes that off-worlders were come and they're interested in the ones that, you know, have the alien DNA or whatever the story is, right? There's more likely you're going
right.
to be abducted if you have the alien gene. Maybe it's the same
right.
thing. Maybe for whatever reason, Hatman's fascinated with all the little psychic girls and boys. You know? That's
the
very interesting, right?
Of the paranormal.
Exactly, right, but in a weird way. They want to get, like, radiated.
Yeah, in a weird way, right.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's totally fantastic. But you've never had anything like that. Now, have you ever, you guys, Joshua, have you ever had anything on the ghost box sessions that you did not think were necessarily a ghost, like, of a living thing from the earth?
Well, yes, and with instrumental transcommunication, we still can't prove anything 100% where any of these source audio is coming from. At best, we can say it's intelligent communication that has an awareness of us and our lives. The assumption is, Sheena, that it could be the spirit world. We could be speaking with interdimensional beings, extraterrestrials, our subconscious mind. It right now is theorized to be somewhat of a party line where the EM spectrum or the radio waves can be used or manipulated or act as a carrier for this communication wherever the source audio is coming from, even if it is coming
sure.
from our own brains or subconscious. So absolutely, we have Frank Sumption, the creator of the random voltage generated, the sweeping ghost box, believed he was receiving alien communication. And with some of our most current projects, Rob's Blu-ray, we theorize that some of this communication is extraterrestrial in nature, that it is necessarily not maybe from the spirit world. Again, all in theory. We can't prove anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have a friend who was on Celebrity Ghost Stories, and one day we were just talking afterwards, and he said, you know, they made me say that it was ghosts, but I really think what went on in that house was off-worlders. So I think they all get mixed. I just went to do a documentary in Joshua Tree over the summer with my friend Andrea Perrin, who grew up in the Conjuring House. And, you know, they wanted me to identify. It was basically a documentary for ufologists. It was for 5C, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind,
right.
A group that's their thing, and it was really about that. And, I mean, I have those stories, too, but for me and my mama, so I'm certainly no stranger to that. But, you know, we're in the middle of Joshua Tree, and they're like, well, okay, so where's the off-worlders? And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys, really? I mean, where's the off-worlders? Where's the earth spirits? Where's the interdimensionals? Where's the spirits of dead pioneers? I mean, it's Joshua Tree, right? There's everything.
Exactly.
And
right.
So that, I think, is one of the hardest things about when you're searching into the paranormal, that the paranormal encompasses all that stuff, right?
Right.
The more we conduct this research and the more that we look at what everyone else is doing on an international level, on a global level, we do see the dots connecting and the lines connecting where all of these paranormal events somehow are tied to one another, whether it be just through theories of cause and effect or chaos theory or just, you know, how a lot of the things we use in ITC, the ufologists, that community is using, a lot of us are using a lot of the same equipment to try and measure this type of phenomena. So we do have a lot in common.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But
yeah,
also,
it's very true.
I think with a lot of the research that we've been doing, I think, like, especially with the new projects that Josh and I are concentrating on, we are getting a lot of it all seems like it's more of an extraterrestrial type of communication just because there's a lot of, phonetics and a lot of different types of sounds coming through. It's more of a higher, a higher type of communication. It just doesn't seem spiritual oriented.
Oh,
if that makes sense.
What do you think? Oh, what do you think it is?
You know, I'm not sure, but here's kind of like the weird thing, right? And I always sound crazy kind of saying this, but I've had conversations with others. Because I am getting a lot of, messages via, like, vivid dreams. Sometimes I'll wake up there's been a couple of times when people in the house woke up and they're like, what's that sound? And it's like a very high-frequency sound, like music playing, almost. And try to figure out where it's coming from. There's no source for that, I mean, at all. It's super, and it's loud enough to where it's waking up others, and they're like, where's that sound coming from? So at that same time, everybody will go back to sleep. I'm asleep. I'm getting voices talking. I'm getting a lot of communication coming through. They're telling me what to do, what I need to do. And I will put these things and I'll wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning after I get this communication. I will go back through, run some of these tests. I'm getting voices coming through these frequencies that I'm being told to use. And so I said, Josh, you're not going to believe this. And I sent some clips to Josh, and he's like, what the hell did you tap into? And it's just kind of, it's really bizarre.
And Rob, I remember when you sent me those clips, and I know how it impacted you subjectively, and it impacted
right.
me. Sheena, what's so interesting about this is a lot of ITC can be considered subjective, but I used impartial, unbiased scientific equipment to measure the frequencies in the audio that Rob was receiving. And the harmonics visually, looking at this through spectrum or spectral analysis, the harmonics were shaped differently than what I would expect from the equipment or the circuit board Rob is using. Like to project harmonics differently than a non-tube amplifier, for example. Harmonics are registered and shown differently. And so just looking at this with unbiased eyes, equipment, measuring this, it was received and it was analyzed differently than the typical audio I see from a ghost box. And that I find is interesting. Again, I can't use that to prove anything, and I can't say conclusively what's going on, but it definitely looked and provided different data than the last 20 years I've received using ghost boxes.
Wow, that's interesting.
Right.
So
frequencies.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Do you think, in essence, the extraterrestrial communication, I mean, do you believe that, okay, so let's say, you know, just for spiritual shits and giggles, that there is a benevolent source, a God spirit energy that sort of is the top of the food chain for the universe, right? A celestial energy, whatever you think that is, it all folds under the umbrella of that description, right? Whether you think it's an old man on the cloud or energy or whatever. Do you believe that energy that made all of us also made Mothman, made Hat Man, made Bigfoot, made aliens? I mean, is the one God that made everything everywhere? Because I've always thought that. But it's interesting of this for you to receive these messages that seem to be void of spirituality.
You know, that's something that we've been talking about. It's like, you know, talking to people, because there's other people that are talking about star seeds, right? Like, you know, because they come from a different origin. So there's like different realms. So there's like the Galactic Council and then the Spiritual Council. So it's like, okay, who was here first? Was it spiritual or was it galactic? You know, were the Egyptians, was a galactic council who helped build the pyramids? And then spiritual council came after with, you know, with religion. We don't know. Are they two separate beings? Are they all one being?
That's very interesting. Yeah, I've never thought about that before. That's a very interesting concept, that there may be something that's even a higher council than spiritual council.
Right. Because what other people that have talked to me that have been visited, and they told me, somebody, now I'm going to really sound crazy, somebody told me with, they honestly think that, I know, right? But I'm just being honest with some of the conversations that I've been having lately. Somebody told me here recently that they think I'm a star child, and at one point as a kid, I was visited, or I've been visited several times. And, you know, and I could see, I can explain things like, I can explain places that I have seen and gone, and I've never been there in my life. And I can describe things in very, in detail.
Right.
In extreme
detail. Right. Well, what about reincarnation? I always thought that might be the explanation for that.
That could also be it. And like with my aunt, she was telling me, she knew that I was doing astral projecting. And so one day, because she was watching me sleep, and she asked me, hey, what were you just dreaming about? And I told her, everything was in such detail. I mean, to where I was seeing paintings on the wall, I was seeing artifacts in the room, and I was describing something, and she said, wait, what did the house look like? And I described it. And she said, there is no way that you were even at that location. I said, what do you mean? She said, you described, you know, our Uncle Tony's house, or my great-great-great uncle who passed before I was even born. And she said, you were at his house. She said, you described something that was on the wall that, you know, I saw when I was a kid. And that painting doesn't even exist anymore. It was sold in the estate sale. And so, but everything that I described, so she was like, so then she started to ask me a lot of questions. And this was when I was younger, but then she started asking me questions here recently. And she said, she said, I could have told you that you had gifts when you were growing up, but I didn't want to scare you. But now that we can talk as adults, she was kind of telling me things. And I was like, well, I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
But,
and that is,
but
that
now
is,
I do.
That is a generational thing. I think we do get gifts. You know what I mean?
Right.
I have my mother's gifts. A psychic once told my mother she had her mother's gifts. My mother died when Mom was 5. And my grandma, you know, she partied. And we always just thought it was because she was Irish. My mom went to go see a psychic once when she was sort of coming out of the closet when I was in college. She was seeking. She went to see a lot of psychics. And she walked in to see the psychic once, and the psychic said two very interesting things. First thing psychic said was, you got your gifts from your mother. And my mom said, well, my mother wasn't my real mother because my grandma was all, she had no spiritual anything, I don't think. She was a psychologist, and it was all very much about this plane, and that was it. And she said, no, your real mother. You got your gifts from your real mother. She said, your real mother did a lot of things to distract her from her gifts because they scared her. And this woman didn't know my mother from Adam, you know. And then another interesting thing the same psychic told my mother was, she said, you think you're from up there, but you're actually from out there. So my mom always believed that she carried the starseed DNA. And
right.
It wasn't always great. She also had seen, you know, off-worlders and had experiences where she thought she had been abducted. Thankfully, I did not have those. Well, one, but I'll maybe save that for your show. But she
yeah.
She had a lot of things. So, maybe it's true. Maybe that's exactly what star children are. Maybe psychic folks are maybe from out there. I kind of
right.
seem to think the same source probably made all of us. I have a hard time thinking galactic is above spiritual because galactic still is a little more, in a lot of ways, 3D rooted. But I would be willing
Good
to
point.
Bet that, because I think there's all kinds of things on different planets. So here's a question for you, Joshua. Here's my next question. Do you believe there's a difference in an off-worlder, or what we think of as an alien or an extraterrestrial, and an interdimensional? I mean, are the Greys and Mothman basically cut from the same cloth? They're just from different places?
You know, from what research I've done, and I'm not a doctor or a scientist by any means, the way I like to perceive it is I do believe it's possible there are multiple dimensions and the same entities that you're speaking of could exist possibly in multiple dimensions at the same time. There could be some that maybe are in the fourth dimension and then fifth and sixth. And then from my understanding, it goes even higher than that. And I think that there is a commonality, though. I do believe at some point, and this is my own personal theory, that science may be able to find that a lot of the EM spectrum or the forces that we perceive in this dimension are also perceived in others. And somehow that's what ties these dimensions together, and that may be possible. That's how this communication is possible. I don't think science is close to proving that, but I find that there's a commonality between the entities you're speaking of, just based on they might be able to exist in multiple dimensions simultaneously.
Right. I mean, the difference in an elephant and a zebra, right? I mean, both exist in the same place, but
exactly.
both are very different. And maybe
right.
that's what
and
we're looking at.
Right. And in that way, they do share that commonality. And, you know, again, it's fun to think about these things and theorize, but, you know, I feel like the more we look into this, we start to see those similarities, or, you know, a lot of us are postulating the same theories the longer we do this.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. If you could have any kind of encounter, Joshua, with anything, what would you like? I mean, if you could spend, if you could spend an hour talking to something that we've talked about, you know, what are you fascinated with?
That's an excellent question. I would have to presume, that's a fantastic question. I would like to speak to an entity or a consciousness that can perceive the universe without time. Time is a big component for me, and it's where my interests lie in instrumental transcommunication. I'm working a lot with timing right now. Timing in terms of our dimension, obviously, we can't stop time. But essentially, I would love to find out what a consciousness or an entity, how it perceives the universe from a place of no time, how it can be at multiple places at the same time,
right.
How it can walk into one room and then another, you know, as we, you know, it can view or perceive time just as us walking into one room or another, I guess is what I'm trying to say. That fascinates me. So any entity, I'm reaching out to you right now. This is a public service announcement. I would like to speak to you. If you live in an existence or dimension without time, please contact me via our Saturday show.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Excellent question.
It's interesting about the space and time, right, and the perception. So I have like a thing of about Mothman, and I've brought Mothman up like 3 times now. There are very few things that scare me. Like if I had a choice between being in a room with a demon or being in a room with Mothman, I would choose the demon because I think there's something super creepy about Mothman. So there is that like really cool line from the Mothman prophecies, and yes, I understand that's a fictional account of a sort of true account because my friend wrote that screenplay, so I get that it's not real. But the journalist character goes to see the professor who's written the book on Mothman, right? And the professor says, for those of you who haven't seen it, if a window washer is, you know, 40 stories up in the high and can see an entire city, it doesn't make him more intelligent or more enlightened. It just means he was given a different perspective. And I always think about that line, not just about Mothman, but about any interdimensional or cryptozoological entity that you can think of, right? That are they really smarter than us or know more, or were they just given a different perspective? I mean, for us, time's finite, right? If you are a creature and where you're at in your interdimensional being, there is no finite time. So of course you can see a bridge is going to collapse. Of course you can see a building is going to explode because you just naturally can see all times at once. It doesn't make you a god. It just makes you somebody who was given a different perspective. In the way that owls can spin their heads around all the way, or a fly can pretty much see behind their head, it doesn't make them more intelligent. It just means you were given different gifts. And I think that is true of a lot of the interdimensionals that we think of and that we fear. Even the Lemurian folks, what my mama used to call the fairy garden folks, you know, it's fascinating to me that someday we'll actually know, maybe not in our lifetime, but somebody will create a device that will capture and we'll be able to see all of them. And it's going to be, I mean, insanity because they're everywhere.
Very well said,
yeah, yes.
By the way. I really like how you worded that.
I mean, there's not going to be enough Prozac in the world. People are going to lose their stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Josh.
No, please, Rob. I interrupted you. Go ahead, please.
No, I mean, but with a lot of things that do that people do experience. I mean, I think a lot of people are afraid to come forward because they're afraid that people will think that they're crazy. I'm very outspoken, so I don't care what people think of me. I just tell my experiences for what they are, what I've experienced. And maybe I do that subconsciously to try to get people not to be afraid to open up about their experiences, because the more that we know, I think the more it's going to help the field. And I think that's why I've always been open and honest, and I kind of, you know, show people, you know, how to build devices. And I try to explain how they work, even though, you know, I'm giving direction on using something. I can't explain how it works, but when I turn it on and, you know, we're getting results, you know, things that are happening, I mean, voices coming through. I can't tell you where the voices are coming from, but we're getting confirmation or even we're getting closure for people that have lost loved ones. And I tell people, look, I can't guarantee that I can contact you with the loved one. But when the responses come through or we get some, I mean, just the responses that we do get on the Saturday show, it's just mind-blowing. And sometimes I'm just sitting there, like, in awe and in shock of what we just heard. So it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It's beautiful, and it's wondrous, and it's amazing. And it's funny because I just did some friends' show. George R. Lopez and Ken DaCosta do this show called Dead Air, and I just did that show last week. And they were talking about you know, the naysayers and the hecklers and the ones, the disbelievers. And to me, life is so short. And like you said, Joshua, none of us know, right? I think it was you that said that. You know, I always say right. I could wake up tomorrow in a grave with worms eating my eyes and say, oh, shit, I was wrong about all of it. we don't know for sure what we believe, but we don't know what we know. In our hearts, yes, but not scientific proof.
Right.
I mean, I know if my toe gets cut, you'll see a bone. We know that. But we don't really know about this. So to go around being all skeptical and mean and act like you know everything and, well, you're full of crap and this can't be true, why ruin that experience? Why ruin the wonderment of the paranormal community? But then I'm one of those weirdos that goes to a magic show and doesn't want to know how the tricks are done because I'm just enjoying the magic. And I think maybe we could spend a lot more time in this community enjoying the magic and less time fighting with each other about what's true or not true or all our lofty opinions, you know?
No, absolutely. Yep. And when I first, you know, I met Josh for the first time at an investigation. So Josh walks in with all these ghost boxes. And, you know, I have equipment like you wouldn't believe, right, at that time. So I'm like, so, Josh, what are you doing with all these broken radios? I would give them such a hard time for using the ghost box because I was a huge skeptic about ghost boxes. And this was only, what, 6-7 years ago, Josh?
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah. So, you know, I was just giving them such a hard time. And I think he was probably thinking I was the biggest pompous ass. but then,
I still
you
do,
know,
Rob. I still do.
And then, you know, and then, you know, I had, you know, I'm going to give a ghost box its chance. So, you know, I was doing some heavy investigating and I was, because all my work was all EVP. So I would do EVP. I would get disembodied voices. I would, you know, that was my forte. But I said, you know, I'm in this location. I have access to this location. Let's bring in a ghost box and let's see if I can get some valid responses. So I started asking specific questions about the location and the answers started coming in. And I was like, yeah, it could just be coincidence. So, but see, I was still a skeptic. So I worked with it for several days at this one location for several hours. And the responses were always the same to the same area, to the same questions. I would always get the same exact answers. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If this is scanning radio, there's no way I would get the same responses in the same location. You know, the same, everything was always the same. There's no way. Maybe there is something to this. So that's kind of what woke me up.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. And now you're more awake than ever.
Exactly.
And coming to terms with your gifts and everything.
Right.
Beautiful.
And
all
see,
because
and,
of Josh.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Rob.
Yeah, I know, right, Josh? And the funny thing is so like with this whole thing, like what I said, when there was like this shift that happened, that whole shift when that happened, that's when a lot of these voices were coming through. That's when all of the, you know, when I said people were hearing weird sounds, my house. I mean, my house was haunted anyway. There's four apparitions in there, or four spirits, I should say. And there's still people have been, you know, still reporting. They're like, hey, you know, what's the deal with this lady in the house? And I was like, wait, what? What does she look like? Because they never said anything. And so I described her, and they're like, yeah, that's who I saw. Who is she? And I was like, I don't know. I'm trying to still figure that out. But anyway, so, you know, with people that were very skeptical, and, you know, them hearing the voices and hearing, you know, those sounds, and it's all started happening when the shift changed, and, you know, everybody else started hearing disembodied voices on the show. Anyway.
Wow. You guys are wonderful. We are so out of time. I can't wait to join you on your show next week. Will one of you tell me how you can be found online, and how can you find the show and everything I need to know?
Go for it, Josh.
Okay. We are obviously Live Paranormal and all of the social affiliates, as I call them, Facebook, YouTube. I don't think we have Instagram yet. You can also find us on the Pair Awakening YouTube channel, Pair Awakening Facebook channel, Facebook page, and we will have our website up and running hopefully very soon.
Fantastic. It's great to have you here, and I would love for you to come back and let's do this again.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
Gina.
It was an honor to be on your show.
Thank
you for having us.
Oh, I loved it. My only complaint is that it went far too quick. It seems like we just started and we're already done. Thank you, my friend. Joshua, Sean, Rob Hernandez. What a joy to have them here. Please check them out at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night on Live Paranormal's video channel, facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. I'm Sheena Metal. Till I see you next time, find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all of your spiritual and paranormal needs. Also, you can find me at everywhere on social media, just at Sheena Metal, and, of course, HauntedPlayground.com for this show, LiveParanormal.com for the network. Till I see you next time, seek peace. Live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration, always let me know if you find a griffin in your backyard, keep an open mind to all things celestial and spiritual and beautiful, and I'll see you next week. I love you guys a lot. See you next Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time.